You may wish to have your Bible open at Matthew 9 as we think about this account that's recorded for us here. Some of you will know that in the other Gospels there's a little bit more detail added into this story. But we don't need to worry too much about that other detail that's there that we don't have here. I just want to focus on a couple of the things that this scripture brings out to us. I want to focus, first of all, on the fact that this man is being carried by his friends. He is the man carried by his friends. And because of that, this man is actually at the mercy of his friends as to where he goes, where he wanted to go, and where he ended up could quite easily be two very different places. Because he is not capable of getting himself to where he may want to go. Now, as it happened, his friends proved to be wise and loyal, and it turns out that they actually made a very good decision in bringing him to Jesus. But I just want to begin by asking you to consider whether you might be a little bit like this man in this regard, that you tend to put yourself at the mercy of your friends as to where you go and where you end up. Now, I'm sure there must be a few here, and you've been invited along by Megan or Joshua or Tony. And having been invited, you immediately look to the others who've been invited. Well, I'll go if you go. And your friends really decide for you what you're going to do. You don't really decide for yourself. Eli Black was a very successful and ruthless businessman in the USA, and he was also something of a control freak. Whenever he hosted a business lunch, he would immediately take charge of all the food on the table, and he would distribute it to his invited lunch guests only when he was good and ready, and they would only eat what he decided they would eat when he decided they would eat it. And few ever challenged him. They would feebly sit there, weak and compliant, and just follow his lead. In 1975, the authorities in the States uncovered a huge illegal bribe that Eli Black had been involved in to secure a business deal. And as soon as he realized that he'd been rumbled, he went to his office, which was on the 44th floor of the Pan Am building in New York City, smashed the window, and jumped out. Took his own life. Many people had played follow the leader with Eli Black. But if you're going to play follow the leader with someone, it checks to see who's at the front of the line. I want to ask you to think about doing something a bit radical this evening, perhaps. I want to ask you to think for yourself and not play follow the leader. You're going to hear things this evening, some of you perhaps, that you've not heard before. Or perhaps you've heard them, but you've never really understood them. Or, having heard them, you've simply laughed at them and dismissed them. And the easy thing to do this evening will be to look left and to look right, and to wait and see what your friends are going to make of it all. I want to encourage you to think it through for yourself and come to your decision. Because what you are going to hear this evening will determine your entire future. Now, you might think that's a rather bold or a rather crazy or just plain ridiculous claim to make. But you are going to hear a message which, if you believe it, will send you down one path. But if you reject it, will send you down another. The message that you hear this evening and what you choose to do with it will determine your future. And like the friends of Eli Black, if you're just playing follow the leader, you better hope that the guy at the front knows what he's doing. Anyway, back to our friend being carried. His friends had heard all about this Jesus, and he's got this great reputation as a healer. And they bring their paralyzed friend, hoping that this Jesus can finally release him from the years of being a prisoner in his own body. What must that be like? But in fact, this man is going to receive the best thing he never knew he needed. I'll say that again. He's going to receive the best thing he never knew he needed. Because we see that Jesus immediately sees their faith in verse 2. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, and he begins to address the man. And his friends, as they start to hear Jesus speak, they must have thought, this is great. This is going just how we imagined. Son, he says, be of good cheer. And they think, yes. And they think they know what's coming next. And probably most of the other people in the room think they know what's coming next. And so they all get the shock of their lives as Jesus continues, your sins are forgiven you. What? Did we hear right? The ones at the back of the room, the ones outside by the door, what did he say? Your sins are forgiven you. Well, that's not what we brought him here for. That's not what we thought was on offer. Could it not be any clearer to this man what our friend really needs? What use is forgiveness if we have to carry him back out just the way we've carried him in? That's not why we came here. There are far more things to worry about than sin. Who even believes in sin anyway? Being forgiven? Now, maybe some of you, if you'd been in that room that day and you'd heard Jesus say what he said, maybe that's how you two would have reacted. What did he say? There are far more important things to worry about than sin. Well, let me challenge you to ignore what your friends might be thinking right now. Think for yourself. Think for yourself. Consider the words of Christ and consider what he did for this man. Jesus is announcing that this man's friends, in bringing him to himself, they have enabled this man to receive the one thing that he is most in need of. And that is to have his sins forgiven. Now, why would Jesus judge things to be that way? When I was in sixth form in school, yes, they did have schools when I was a lad, and they had actually invented sixth forms by then. I was in what we used to call lower sixth, year 12 to you. When I was in year 12, there was a girl in upper sixth, year 13. She died of leukemia. The next morning in school, a special assembly was called for the whole sixth form, and around 200 17 and 18 year olds in the prime of life were confronted with the reality of death. Standing a few feet away from me was a friend of mine, a lad in my year called Neil. He was a member of the school football and cricket teams. And he was standing there, having already lost an arm to bone cancer and struggling to fight off the disease that a few years later would take his life too. But Angela, the girl who just died, she was a Christian. In fact, she was a member of the church youth group where I grew up. And I'd known her and her family for many years. And she knew that her sins were forgiven. She'd heard what you're about to hear, and it had determined her future. She believed what she heard, and she knew where her future lay. And she had dealt with an issue far more important than being cured of leukemia. Did you know that it is possible to be sure of where your future lies, no matter what this life may bring? Because that's the message I've got for you this evening. What was the message that Angela and so many others have heard that made the difference? It was the message that all the people heard on this day as Jesus dealt with this paralytic man. Knowing that his sins are forgiven is the most important thing in his life that he could ever get sorted out. And those words of Jesus were the best thing he was ever going to hear. The best thing he was ever going to hear. Forgiveness of sins. Now, some of you might say, sins? Sins? Well, let me tell you a little about sins. Sins is ignoring and rejecting and disobeying God. Every time your conscience is aroused, every time you feel ashamed of something you've said or done, every time you frantically try to cover your tracks for fear of being found out, every time you feel a pang of guilt, no matter how small it is, you are reminded that there is a higher authority than you whose demands you have not met. That's what your conscience is. You have not met his demands. And you know he is there. That's what your conscience is. And that higher authority is God, in whose image you were made, whose commands you disobey. That's sins. That's the message Angela heard. And she believed it. But that's only part of the message. Our sin breaks God's law, and lawbreakers must be punished. But you don't need me to tell you that lawbreakers must be punished. Your own conscience tells you that. You have this inbuilt sense of justice. Lawbreaking brings punishment. Justice must be done. Now, where does that come from? Why do we all have that in common? It's because there is a higher authority to whom we must give account and who holds us to account. That's how we all know. You won't find me a scientist or a philosopher in the world Who can understand these things? It's all in the Bible. Romans 6:23, a really well-known verse in the scriptures. The wages of sin is death. That's the message Angela heard. And she believed it. But that's still not the whole message, because the verse carries on. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus, who had no sin of his own. Jesus, who died on the cross, standing in our place as our substitute. He took God's death penalty on our behalf. He died in our place to satisfy God's justice. And he turned away God's anger from us because God's anger was poured out upon him. He'd done no sin. But he who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that he might secure our peace with God forever. That's the message. And the Lord Jesus guaranteed that our peace with God would be secured forever, because on the third day he rose again. And he conquered sin, and he conquered death, and he conquered the grave, and he rose in the power of an endless life, and he is our promise, because one day he'll return. And if you will acknowledge this truth, which is found in the Bible, and if you will acknowledge that you are a sinner, as the Bible says you are, as the Bible says I am, then if you'll turn from your sinful ways and if you'll believe in the one who died for you, if you'll trust in Christ, you will be saved and you will be forgiven all of your sins, and you'll have that in common with this man as he lay on his bed. You can hear the same thing said to you by Christ. Your sins are forgiven if you will believe in him. But to reject him, is to remain in your sins. And you will pay for your sins yourself. Forever in hell. This message and what you do with it will determine your future. That's the message my friend Angela heard and believed. She knew her sins were forgiven. And even though she died of leukemia at a very young age, she knew that her decision to trust in Christ had already decided her future. And it will decide yours if you'll believe. Christ has paid the price for sinners. All is forgiven if you'll trust him and if you'll repent of all your sins. Now, just to close, did you notice there were skeptics in the room that day? There's always skeptics. Doesn't matter what the subject is, there's always skeptics. They didn't disagree about the importance of having your sins forgiven. That's not their disagreement. They just questioned the claim of Jesus to be able to do it. Look how Jesus responds. Verse 5 of Matthew 9. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? Now, of course, in one sense, neither are easier. Neither are easier. Unless you are God, both are impossible. But of course, one brings visible proof. And so Jesus says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, so that you know. Arise, take up your bed, walk. And he did. Instant, immediate, complete healing. Because the man who has the authority to heal that which is brought by sin has the authority to forgive sin. That's the message. Well now, you could just wait and see what your friend's going to do, and you could just follow them as usual. But if you do decide to play one more game of follow my leader, you'd better be sure the person in front of you knows what they're doing. And if you do decide to play one more game of follow my leader, do remember it might be the very last time you get to play the game. Because this life is very short, but eternity is very long. You can know, by the time you walk out of this room this evening, or perhaps in the quiet of your own room before you lay your head on your pillow, where your future lies. Who will you choose? Well, we're going to hear from our three friends who've all chosen Christ. Before they come and give us their own testimonies of how they heard this message and of the difference that it has made for them, we'll stand and sing. This time we will sing Amazing Grace. It's him, and then we'll invite them to come and join us as we hear from them. Let's stand and sing together.